And our connection this hour is made with a question. How diverse is your company or organization's staff? If it's like many, or even most companies in America, the workforce does not represent the diversity of the community. As reported by Forbes, at the biggest tech companies, diversity in hiring has stagnated or decreased over the past 5 years. It points to Apple, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, where the workforce remains predominantly white and male, as it has been since first diversity reporting started in 2014. Research shows that diversity in the workforce is vital for companies to thrive and be profitable. And here in Rochester, the Laboratory for Laser Energetics at the University of Rochester is set to double the size of its staff from about 250 to 500. And recruiters say they are dedicated to improving representation. They say one of their goals is to develop a database of professionals from underrepresented groups, including recent graduates and individuals at various stages in their careers, to help the laboratory expand its hiring pool. So how? And how can all companies move beyond so-called virtual signaling to create tangible change? One other question we'll address. One of our guests this hour is Kevin Beckford, the Director of Staff Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at the University of Rochester. He's also a member of the Pittsford Town Board. He says one of the more common questions he gets on subjects like this is, well, if you just have a goal of increasing diversity in workforces, is that reverse racism? He says no, but we're going to talk about exactly that and more with Kevin. He's one of our guests. And Kevin, it's nice to have you. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me here.
And Terry Kessler is a diversity manager and senior research engineer at the Laboratory for Laser Energetics at the University of Rochester. Terry, welcome to you as well. We lost Terry. Are you there, Terry? Let's try it again. Hi, Terry. Can you hear me? We're going to see if we can re-rack that. And Kevin, while we wait to get Terry, let's just have you start by kind of giving us the landscape of what's going on. And as you see sort of the goal here, when the laboratory doubles its size here. Go ahead.
Yeah, so can you hear me okay now?
I can. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, perfect. So, you know, this is a really exciting time for the laser lab because they've been, first of all, around for a long time, but not a lot of folks know that they're there because a lot of their work was done for, you know, areas outside of the Rochester area. Now, but as we start looking at, you know, how do we fulfill the commitment we've made to the community in our 5-year anti-racism equity plan, it's going to take every area looking at where their business is today and how do we move forward. And the laboratory for laser energetics is going to be developing some additional work that's going to be coming from the outside that's going to cause them to grow in size. So they want to take advantage of that opportunity to make sure that we build the most diverse workforce as possible. So it took a little bit of soul searching first and taking a look at the demographics of where we are today. And where we are today does not reflect where we want to be in 5 years. In fact, not where we want to be in the next 1 to 2 years. And so we're starting out this week with an information career fair on Friday from 3 to 5. We'll tell you a little bit more about it later. And it's free. And it's information first because in many cases, we need to really just share with folks who they are, where they are, and what they're doing. And then we have potentially, I think, a little bit over 30 jobs that we'll be filling over the next 6 months that span the range from folks with high school diplomas all the way up to various type of doctoral degrees in many disciplines. And so we want to be able to start cultivating that relationship from now. And we're taking an anti-racist action, which is all of our outreach is going to be in the area where we need to actually grow our diversity.
So on Friday from 3 to 5 p.m., it is a career fair for the Laboratory for Laser Energetics, which is growing in size. You can register online. We will post a link on our podcast page if you want to attend this virtual career fair on Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Terry Kessler is the diversity manager and senior research engineer at the Lab for Laser Energetics at the University of Rochester, and he's with us now. Hi, Terry. Thanks for making time.
Hi, Evan. It's good to be with you.
Well, I want to ask you to kind of follow up on Kevin's point here. And as we look at the broader tech industry in many ways here, there hasn't been a whole lot of growth and progress in these ways in the last 5 years, which might run against what a lot of people assume. So if you look at Apple, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Forbes just reported we haven't seen a whole lot of progress here. In fact, in some ways, it's stagnated. Why now? Why make this effort now? And what do you think you can achieve with this, Terry?
Well, it's interesting. Often groups like the Greater Rochester Enterprise and High Technology Rochester, they call us the Silicon Valley of the East, you know, with optics and photonics, et cetera. And there's a magazine called Optics and Photonics News that put out a statement about this, and I'd like to read it to you so I can.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely. Yeah, sure.
Okay. The killing of George Floyd, an unarmed black man, by a white police officer in Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA, provided an indelible image of racism in America and sparked outrage and sustained protests, both in the United States and worldwide, as summer 2020 unfolded. It also has prompted considerable soul-searching by U.S. companies and institutions regarding the inadequacy of their own efforts towards equity and inclusion. Science is no exception. Despite decades of tacitly recognizing its equity problems, the face of much of professional science in America and of physics is and remains resolutely white and male. And while other underrepresented groups have at least begun to make measurable progress towards equity, the available data suggests that black representation in physics has barely budged in two decades. So the way I look at it is sometimes in certain areas of STEM, in certain areas of technology, we have made progress. We'll continue to make more. But in physics, we do have a lot of work to do.
Hmm. Kevin Beckford, you told me on the phone something I really want you to touch on for people who might either be skeptical or challenge the effort to say, okay, well, this lab's got 250 employees. It's going to double in size, and we're going to make a conscious effort to make sure there is diverse representation among the new hires. You know, the critics or the cynics might say, and I've heard it, and I'm sure you've heard it, well, just hire the most qualified people. And if they happen to be black, indigenous, people of color, whatever the case may be, so be it. And if not, so be it. But claiming that that's going to be one of your top goals, I know the question you get sometimes is that reverse racism? What do you say to it?
I think, and it's one of the biggest questions I think has to be answered up front, because then it really gets folks to understand that there's not a reason to be nervous or scared or afraid of this type of a strategy. So in fact, Terry just touched on it, which is we've been talking about diversity for many, many years in the business world and higher academics and so on. And when we look at the data, the results, it shows that the impact has been marginal. In some cases, it's gone backwards. You know, in some cases, we have less people today in certain roles than we did, you know, 10 years ago. And it's because one of the things that we've ignored is the fact that race, what race plays in all of this. So, for example, in the Rochester area, highly segregated. And so therefore, or bubbles, so to speak, or our network tends to be also segregated. So when I think about our job postings, for example, we post jobs and people apply. And because we're one of the largest employers, we generally get a lot of applications and so it's difficult to work through that. So what do hiring managers generally do? They look at referrals. And so when they reach out to say, hey, who would you like to refer, anybody that you in your network, those networks tend to be very, very segregated. And so therefore, we end up hiring what we believe are the best people and saying that, hey, if they didn't apply, then, you know, what are we supposed to do? Well, it's forgetting the fact that because we're so segregated, we've never addressed that core issue. We've essentially propagated a process for hiring that yields in somewhat of a racist outcome, right? And so the data suggests that. And Terry, I'll talk a little bit about this later, but when we take a look at all the work that we've done, and we've not done anything actively to say that it's racist, but what we've done is we've essentially continued with a process that was on a foundation of inequity. So we post the jobs, look for referrals, that it's from a homogeneous group, and we end up with an homogeneous outcome. So what we're doing this week, which is going to be a first of many steps, is that we still have to post those jobs because that's a federal mandate to do that, and that's our process. But all of our networking, our cultivation, or building a connection and informing and creating that candidate pool, we need to invest more in the area where we have a higher percentage of Black, Indigenous, people of color in order to, first of all, let them know what we do, what jobs are available, and that we're going to be setting up a more welcoming environment. Because the fact that we have only about 1% African-American or Black, Indigenous people of color in our demographic in the laser lab, it tells us that we know up front that we may not have the best environment up front because we just don't have the representation. So we're doing all of the work right now to, you know, Cherry's going to be working with the team on training, how to be more open to changes when we actually start bringing people in with different backgrounds and so on. And also once those folks come in, to bring them into a welcoming environment so that they will then turn around and become ambassadors to help us to grow even more in terms of higher representation of Black, Indigenous people of color.
Terry, how do you answer the cynics who challenge this kind of effort?
Well, we firmly believe that a diverse workforce is vital to a thriving science program. You know, there was a time when students from around the international community, different countries, would come to the U.S. to study technology and science, and that we really taught most of the students. But, you know, there are other countries, like China, for example, that are doing very well financially, can invest in research programs even beyond what we can do and have schools that are growing. They don't need to come here as much as they once did. We need to make better use of the resource of people in our country. We need to get all of the people. We have to reframe the question. It's not whether there's a reverse racism. It's, are we including all the people of resources? Are we leaving some behind? So because of the international change, we really need to look at it very, very, very differently. Now, we need change. That's clear. Change is slow. That's exceptionally clear. But we can't limit ourselves to the status quo statistics. If you look at how the hiring process is, like Kevin mentioned, it would take decades to make even small changes to go from 1% to 2% brown and black employees at a place like the Laser Lab. So we really need to work harder and to focus our attention on things that can change our environment, change our culture.
Well, and I want, if you could, Kevin Beckford, to talk a little bit about transparency and how the public can really know that you're actually doing what you say you're doing. Not everybody is, not every company, not every organization, not every institution is upfront with their goals and with allowing the public to actually see the numbers, whether it's faculty diversity, whether it's employee diversity, gender, et cetera. Tell me about what transparency means to you, Kevin.
This is very important. In fact, I would say this is critical. In fact, and for folks that are listening to the program today, if you go to the rochester.edu website, rochester.edu, that's the University of Rochester website, and just type in diversity dashboard in the search link, you'll see a page that shows you our diversity demographics for faculty, another one for students, another one for staff. And the one that Terry's going to be focusing on is going to be in the staff area. So you can imagine there'll be a dashboard like what you'll see there that will show a five-year trend of where we're coming from, where we are today. So as we start deploying these tactics, like what we're doing this Friday, we'll be able to see if that's changing. So if it isn't, we try something different. One of the things that's extremely important for any company out there listening today, if you're not prepared today as your very first step to display and make transparent your dashboard, to show the demographics of your staff, and to down to a level to show the change, because aggregate doesn't tell you anything. You want to be able to say in the full complement of jobs you have, not just your entry level, low level, or middle, but your senior ranks, and to say, what are those demographics look like? So if it's bad today, that's okay. Just own it. And then when you put together strategies to help change it, you can report on that progress. I would say for any company that took this step to put out a statement that you want to be an anti-racist company, then you should be prepared as your very first step is to put out a dashboard that shows where you are today. So as you formulate your plans and you act on them, you'll see how they're changing. University of Rochester did that almost 3 years ago. It is now starting to galvanize a level of action within the University of Rochester throughout all of our ranks, or schools, or different businesses, and the Laser Lab is one of those, to where we're going to say we're going to own that, and we're going to basically move forward with the same level of ingenuity, strength, and investment as we do with anything else we do in our business, because we see this as critical. One of the things that is if you can't do that, I would say abandon any other actions, because it means if you're not prepared to show where you are today and then share with the community where you are tomorrow and what actions you're taking, then it's a failed approach. And I'll add another thing that'll be really helpful. I'm looking forward to going forward in us partnering with the chief diversity officer of the city, the one that the person who will be hired for the county, to say they can hold businesses like us accountable to say, what is your plan, which we've delivered, it's on our website, what actions you're taking, we're going to be transparent around that like we are today, and oh, by the way, what metrics are going to use so we know that you're successful in what you're doing, or that you're doing what you say you're going to do.
Are you comfortable with the transparency, Terry?
Well, you know, there are three critical components that underpin our lab's commitment. One is employee training, another is participation, and the third is evaluation. And we've gone as far as to address the issue of accountability in our lab, and we walk other companies and institutions do the same. That is, our performance evaluation yearly, we're adding elements to the various categories of leadership, personal accountability, service. And these elements contain diversity, equity, inclusion, and accountability. We're doing this for the first time. It's an important part of our process because we believe that employee participation is critical to really making this work. We have to lead by example. And we can do that right now because the stars are aligned at the U of R Laser Lab. Here are the stars. We have a new president of the university, Sarah Mangelsdorf, our first woman president. We have the first vice president of equity and inclusion and chief diversity officer, Mercedes Ramirez Fernandez. We have a new director of laboratories who's very supportive of this work, Mike Campbell. And the last is myself. This is the last phase of my career, and I find that this is extremely important to me because of who my family is, what I've done, who I've worked with, and I want to make this happen. So leading by example is something that we will do.
Well, and before we lose the hour, I want to talk to Kevin Beckford just a little bit more about what you think the broader community can do, Kevin. We've got the career fair on Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. for anybody who is interested as the Laboratory for Laser Energetics expands and increases its size. That's Friday. But I know that you're hoping that that people and companies and organizations will hear these kinds of conversations and get more serious to this work, Kevin. And more than anybody I think I've talked to about this effort, I think you have a touch with this that says, I'm not here to shame you. I'm not here to sort of publicly embarrass you. But I do want to ask you if this is a value of yours, as opposed to kind of coming in and trying to out somebody and shame and blame. It's a different kind of approach, and I would just ask you to spend a couple of minutes talking about that approach and whether you think there is real traction, whether it's at U of R, but also in the broader community.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that question. And I have to be honest with you. I think that this is a pivot point for us here in Rochester because so much of what we're talking about in trying to create greater equity and access to the full complement of jobs. So that's entry level all the way up to CEO. That's actually tied to the issues of systemic poverty that we've been struggling with in Rochester for quite some time. Because when you don't have access to the full complement of jobs, it by default caps out the access to pay and salary and opportunity, generational wealth, and so on. And so this is extremely important. So I see a natural partnership between the work of anti-racism and the great work that's being done at the Rochester Monroe Anti-Poverty Initiative and why that's important. In fact, you know, one of the things I'm looking to do, you know, Cephas Archie, who's a new CDO for the city, and then I know Adam Bellow's planning on hiring someone for a similar type role. I think one of the things that would be great is that having them hold us accountable, all businesses, you know, and best way to start is your top, you know, 30 businesses that employ the most people. So we can set the tone. And so what we're looking to do at the U of R with all the stars that have aligned that Terry's talked about is that we want to be able to go and evolve from being more education-based around diversity, equity, inclusion, and more action-based around anti-racism. The secret ingredient that's been missing in this cake called change is the very thing we're talking about today, which is if we talk about diversity but don't act on how do you build and maintain and create a more diverse workforce, what's not going to change is that by 2045, we're going to see a more diverse community. There will be a majority minority. But at this point right now, we're not that far away from that. And if I look at, you know, if I hold a mirror up to us at the University of Rochester, you know, we have to own the fact that over 90% of our leaders are white and less than 3% are African-American, Black, Indigenous people of color. And if I go further up the ranks, it's almost zero for certain high-level roles. That's our story. That's right next to our story of other good things that we're doing. And so one of the things that I would encourage businesses to do is don't be afraid to own the stuff that you need to change. Because if you don't, it'll never change. And right now we're at a pivot point where if you are not building an environment that hires the best folks that are out there, the full complement of folks, it will eventually become the very thing that threatens your business. And so the notion of when we talk about hiring a more diverse workforce, the minute you get that response that says, well, we need to make sure we hire the most qualified people, that's actually coming from a place of bias. How do I know that? Because when we talk about hiring white people, we never, ever mention that. We assume that they're talented. We assume that they're competent. Bias actually has racialized competence and capability, so that when we talk about hiring more Black, Indigenous people of color, that should be met with an embrace of we're missing them today and we need more. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And Kevin and Terry have been so kind with their time, which was shortened by the governor's news conference, which, of course, we all know we should be listening to. But I want to thank both of them and remind you that the career fair is Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. They ask that you register online, and we will post a link on the Connections podcast page. It's WXXINews.org/connections. Kevin Beckford, as always, thank you for the time.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Terry Kessler, good luck to you. Thanks for the time this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
And more Connections coming up.